You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Shalom. Aloha. And happy Monday. Hey, thank God it's Monday. Welcome to the Man Dog Pod.
TGIM.
Big check-in. TGIM. Dan Lippert sitting across from my co-host, Ryan Rosenberg. Good afternoon, Ryan.
What's
up? That's right.
Yes.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, everybody? It's 2001.
Fun fact about those Budweiser commercials. Did we talk about this?
No.
The guy that directed them, or the idea was a short film that a guy made.
Really?
And then they bought the short film and made it into Budweiser commercials, and then that director ended up becoming like a big music video and commercial director.
And the short film, I assume, was about was that?
Yeah, it was just a bunch of guys calling each other and saying was that.
That's cute. How funny.
Yeah,
I like
so
that.
Folks, never give up on your dreams. Put out content, you never know what's going to happen with it.
Literally, you can just make anything. The WhatsApp guys did huge.
Yeah, they made that short film, and now 20 years later, a couple comedy geniuses are quoting it on their improv podcast.
Well, and those guys like did the whole thing. Even though they were just in the commercial, they like went on Kimmel. They like, you know, like were a little bit famous for a while.
Very funny that's what commercials like. That sometimes the facade just goes away, and it's like Budweiser's like, yeah, let's sell more of our drinks. Have your guys selling our drinks on your show.
Right.
It's not even the facade of like TV shows are made to sell products. Now it's just like, now we're just having you on to make the, yeah, I don't
right.
know.
Well, it's just funny whenever, and as soon as anybody loves somebody, they're like, great, put them on all the talk shows. Get the guy with the cranberry juice and skateboarder. Get him on all the stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, do we want to give him a job or anything? No, no, no. Just parade him around for a little bit and then we'll move on.
Then your 15 minutes are up, Dogface 420.
That's right. I was trying to remember his name. Well, speaking of Dogface 420, Dan, how are you? How you been?
Still working on my face. I'm good. I'm good. I just had breakfast where I had pancakes, eggs, sausage, patties, and tea. And so I've been having a lot of classic pancakey breakfasts. And I think today I had the realizations of just like, you know, this is supposed to be a treat. This isn't like what breakfast is every day.
Yeah, cake is in the word.
Yeah.
Now, is this a hotel classic, or did you go out and order?
Because
in?
Of COVID, hotels don't feed you anymore, even
at
if the
all?
Website says they do. Nothing. The one I was at before this, you could get like a – I got the breakfast once, and it was like the bacon and cheese sandwich was basically bacon, rock, and rocks. It was like the hardest sandwich I've ever been into.
That's too bad. That's really tough.
It's you know.
Because that's kind of one of the whole things with hotels is like, I don't have my stuff here.
Yeah.
I got to be able to get some food or whatever. And it's like, if it's just rooms, I don't know if I want to come anymore.
you know
what I mean?
COVID, you lose a lot of it. They don't come into the room and change the beds anymore. I mean, they do like once or twice a week. But, you know, just the stuff you expect, the luxury has kind of gone away a little bit, which, you know, it's probably top three on my list of problems with COVID.
The luxury is gone? Yeah. Yeah, luxury is gone is probably number one.
Number two?
Loss of connection, number two, and the death, I guess, is number three.
Oh, death coming in number three. I do miss a nice spa day. I mean, it's been coming up a little more. It's in the zeitgeist of
we're
people
planning,
around me.
In my we're mind, planning. We are already planning it. I know we don't have anything written down, but we are already planning our post, what do you call it? Not quarantine, but pandemic spa.
Yes. Well, right now, I hope we're not blowing up her spot, but our therapist is in a hot springs in Palm Springs area.
Oh, my God.
And
jealous.
I'm starting to think that maybe we should, not with her, but we should go to this hot springs near Palm Springs. It sounds very nice.
Yeah, and this would be the season to go before it's like also really hot in the air.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I don't think a hot springs when it's like 110 outside sounds that good. It sounds like I would just die.
You want a hot, you want it hot in the spring.
Yes. Hot, hot you want summers. A little cool air hot spring.
That's right.
Yeah, a little steam. I mean, when's the last time you went and sat in some water that was steaming because it was warmer than the outside temperature? There is something so magical and cinematic about that. Everybody in the Midwest knows what I'm talking about. Hot tub in a cold day? Come on.
It's amazing.
They're pretty simple. You just get hot water and then sit in it. That's a real easy joy of life, I think.
It, you know, I think this is one of the... I might even say it's one of the tricks of Big Tub is the idea that a hot tub is so inaccessible.
Yeah.
Nobody has hot tubs. Or if you do, it's a big deal.
Right.
We can't just put hot water in a tub every once in a while?
It's not, but no, well, now you can. They've started making those ones that are like from Coleman, and they're just like fully inflatable. Yeah. I wonder, someone has one of those, and they said it was good.
It's also our therapist.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, she loves hot water.
She's like, hey, that's why she's our therapist. That's one thing we all have in common.
That's right. That's right.
How are you on this? For me, pretty beautiful Sunday. I know it rained. You had a little cloudy Saturday, right?
Well, it was cloudy in the morning, and I assumed sort of a cloudy day. But then as soon as I had sort of said, hey, let's take the day off for a cloudy, it got really nice, and I went to a park and did some sunbathing, so it was very nice.
That's great.
Well, went sunbathing. Sat on a blanket. I mean, not, you know, I wasn't nude or anything, but...
the collective sigh of all our listeners
up here I was. Yeah. Yeah, just went to a little park, sat out on a blanket, and lay down for a little bit, and kept hoping that the dogs would, you know, sort of run up to us, but they came close. We got to sort of smile and wave at a couple dogs, but nobody really came over. Here's one thing I did want to bring up, though. When someone is sitting, say you're at the beach, at the park, your local lookout, wherever people are sitting, you know, in a public space, how much room, if there's plenty of space, should you give the people who are sitting on the blanket as you're walking by? Because we were sitting on this blanket and people were zooming right past us and we were like, hey, there's like acres of park.
Yeah.
Why would you have to walk so close to where I'm laying on the ground?
I am pre-COVID giving people a lot of space.
Yeah.
Just because everybody's trying to have a nice time. They're not trying to be in a thoroughfare.
Yes. Oh, COVID so wasn't even entering my mind. It was more just social normality of like...
Yeah.
What do you think this is?
I mean...
So like, I just have to take the exact most efficient route. It's like, just... Walk leisurely in the park.
Have a nice little park walk. Yeah, banana around a little bit.
Right. And this group of like three walked right past us really close. And I waited till they were out of earshot, I think. And I was like, give us a little room or something. You know, just sort of did a little under my breath. You know, they walked by. But then later that same group of three came back with like the rest of their group. And it was like 8 or 10 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all in masks, and one of them had a camera. I don't know if they're taking like a family or friend photo or something, but they walked similarly as close. But then this time the guy with the camera said like, and we started getting up because we were leaving around that time, but they walked right up close to us and he was like, sorry if we disturbed your peace there. And I was like, oh, I actually do really appreciate that. And obviously we both know you did. Like, I really did appreciate, like, I even said, like, you know, that actually does make up for it. The fact that he was like, hey, we didn't mean to. I realized that maybe we did. I was like, oh, okay. That makes me feel really good. But in the future, I hope that guy takes a wider berth.
It sounds like, given the circumstances, the best outcome happened.
Yes.
Because that's the big life lesson is, if you make the mistake... The important thing is the awareness and the apology.
Yes.
Can we get there?
Right. And it leaves me with the belief that it's not always going to be this way, which is the important thing. Yeah. I don't care if you're sorry, if you plan to continue to do it, because you're not sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really don't even need the sorry. I just need the I won't do it again.
Right.
I don't really care about the sorry, to be honest. It's more because I'm tough. I'm over that moment, but don't do it again.
Yeah.
You know?
On the walk back, you need to see the realization, the wide berth.
Right. And I think he was sort of at the back of the pack, And yeah, the, and, so and he could control. See the behavior of his friends in front of him, you know? Yeah. So he was like, ah, if only I knew the first time.
I wonder culturally, because it's a very American thing, and maybe a lot of Western countries, to give people space. I've noticed, like,
yeah,
in other countries, it's just like if you're out in public and you're packed together, everyone's just used to, like, kind of being sardines.
Right.
And so, like you'll notice people who, like, foreigners who won't give you space, and it's not, like, meant to be
right.
an offense. It's meant to, it's just, like, what they're used to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't really know what made me think about that. Just, like, how much space people think other people deserve culturally is very interesting to me.
Right. And those
even
people,
like being from Los Angeles, mm-hmm. we expect a lot of personal space.
Right. Right. And I think the people that don't give it don't expect it. Mm-hmm. They don't have like a double standard about it. They're like, oh, this is uncomfortable to you. This is what I am used to, you know?
Yeah. But my other thought about that is, you ever, what that reminded me of is, you ever drive with someone who complains about something someone else does? And you're like, you know, you do that too when you're driving. Like,
right.
They're like, fucking guy cuts me off. And then they like cut people off. I do wonder with that wide berth thing, if those people would be similarly of like, hey man, get out of my space.
Right. Right.
Who knows?
Yeah. I wonder that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, constant projection, right? People on this road are crazy. It's like, oh, I'm not thinking about it that way. Yeah. I'm just driving to my destination. I'm not profiling all the other drivers. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, I'm scared sometimes.
Sure, sure. We've all seen crazies.
But yeah, that's a nice little Saturday relaxation. Other than the walkers.
I mean, they were even fine. It was more of just a like, that was a strange little moment,
yeah.
you know, of one of those like little, I don't think I would have done it that way, but I'm sure I have, and that's probably why I noticed. Like,
yeah.
surely I've kicked sand on somebody's blanket at the beach. You know what I mean? Like, 100%. But this was different because there was so much space. But anyway.
Yeah. I've seen you and a bunch of pigeons get into somebody's whole picnic at the beach.
Well, they saw me have the good idea, and then the pigeons came over. It was originally just me. I wasn't with those pigeons. I was just stealing one lunch alone. There really is nothing funnier than a bird getting the best of somebody. One time we were at SeaWorld, and my sister was eating a hamburger, and a seagull came down and picked up the entire hamburger and flew off with it. And it was like weighing it down a little bit because it was like, you
it
know,
like half the hamburger.
Size. Yeah. A quarter of its body or whatever. It was wild. And she felt so like, who's going to fix this? My whole lunch? It was really funny.
I go to that pier, what is it, Pier 49 or whatever?
San
Francisco,
39?
On the wharf?
Yeah,
Pier 39. Yeah. Yeah, some people got to watch the seals. I got to watch the birds take ice cream from people.
Yeah, you're not careful. A bird will come down and take a big lick.
Yeah.
Big lick of ice cream.
I eat my Ben and Jerry's at the stand, and then I go watch the...
Underneath the awning, where the fans are on for a reason.
That's for the birds.
Yeah.
What else is going on in the old world? I would love to go back. San Francisco was one of the last trips. I'm sure we brought it up before COVID. We did. We all did San Francisco, and it was great for Sketchfest. We had that wonderful meal.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at like, I got that targeted Instagram stuff. That's like they know me. They do a great job, but it was like throwback San Francisco apparel. Mm. You know, like the Seals. Baseball
right,
team and stuff
right.
like that. And it really made me itchy to go back to San Francisco.
Oh, city by the bay. Just lovely.
It really is.
Really lovely.
We don't need to make this like a listicle, but what would you say are the top three trips that pop into your mind that you would like to do?
San Francisco would be great. Would be really great. Two of my friends that live in San Francisco just had a little baby, and they're really my friends Teddy and Tiffany just had a baby, and I miss them anyway and want to see them. So I would be so excited to go see their little girl and that kind of stuff. And I also have two cousins in San Fran, and I just love it. So it would be cool to do like a week where I did like a little bit of family and a little bit of friends exploring out there. That would be pretty nice. And it's close enough, so I would love to do that. What is on my... I mean, I would love to go like out of the country to like a tropical thing, because it has, it would signify to my brain like the opposite of what I feel like I've been going through.
Yeah.
Somewhere that is just like clear, spacious
blue
and warm.
Water.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. And then the third one, I don't know, Costco on a Sunday. I don't know.
I forget why it popped into my mind, but I like witnessed something that reminded me of the feeling of like a trip, like when we were in Georgia, when the part of the day where you all just, everyone goes to a gas station for some reason, you throw your sandals on and y'all get in the truck and like you go and get chips and like, you know, those potato wedges we got there. Like I was really itching for that feeling of like the whole day is open. We need to make a stop. You're in your bathing suit and tank top, and you throw your sandals on, and you go to it. It's like a very specific feeling.
Very nostalgic, just for like summertime-ness. Like,
that sounds really nice.
I was thinking about Georgia the other day. It would be really nice to go have that, almost that same trip. I love that trip because it is so relaxing, and it's also, usually we've gone with Drew's family, so it's been like a little bit family, just sitting around. Oh, what a dream.
Yeah, the little extra thing is like food is taken care of. They make make big meals. They do a whole 4th of July fry.
And they got a little boat. We can hop out on the water. It's just like the best little down home trip. Oh, yeah. I'm jealous of that. I want to go do that.
That's something on a boat would be really nice, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
The freedom of the waves, baby.
Yeah. Oh, baby. I agree.
Because otherwise
it's about to be summertime.
It is. There's like, I would love to go to New York City or Chicago, but it's hard to imagine still like bopping around a big city. I think it still needs to be kind of a relaxing, more of a vacation than like a trip.
Yeah, I need to get out of town, not immersed in a new society.
Yeah.
For now, anyway. But who knows? Hopefully that'll happen soon. I'm going to Palm Springs soon for a friend's wedding.
Oh, yes.
And I'm excited about that. I'll be fully vaccinated by that time, plus the whatever waiting time and everything. So I'm excited to go do a thing that it kind of came at the time of like celebrating. Obviously, it is not the end of the pandemic, but the beginning of like being able to do something safely again, you know?
It feels like it'll be like, nice. I'm really envious of that. I wish I could go. Because it feels like it'll be the first thing where everybody sees each other in a space.
And exactly.
Like vaccinated and is it? I think it'll be like really emotional.
And I think I'll be seeing like sort of like the second ring of my friends that I haven't been keeping as close touch with.
Yeah.
Throughout this whole time, but I like love immensely, you know. But my like weekly texts and stuff have like shrunk down to my main crew. You know what I mean? So it'll be so nice to go see like just other people from the theater and from our friend group that are still out there living their lives and doing their best. But yeah, it'll just be nice to feel like I miss those people. It's exciting to get to see them again and to celebrate our friends.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for
that. I bet a lot of people are going to accidentally drink too much.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's going to be like that social anxiety and just the first time stuff, or maybe I'm projecting, but...
I'm still like, hey, let's all like be out here and still stay like 6 to 10 feet away from each other and be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, let's have a nice long weekend that we haven't had to have, we haven't gotten to get for a whole year, but let's not go crazy already.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of apprehensive of like, I know what I'm comfortable doing and how to keep myself safe, but I still don't know how everybody else feels about it, you know?
Right. For sure.
Like, oh, I hope nobody just like walks right up to me and whatever. Take off your mask, dude. Take off your mask.
I want to see you.
I want to see your face.
Show us your face. I want to see your face.
I think that every single time.
A funny thing with this job is I'm meeting like, you know, 60 people. At the beginning, and you see that about that many people a day, and probably 80 to 90% of them I have not seen with their whole faces.
right, right.
Right. And I've known him for like a
month
now.
You know them from like here.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it would be very funny to have like an artist draw what I think the rest of someone's face is like. Like describe mm-hmm. it to a sketch artist and then mm-hmm. do the reveal and see like how close it is.
That's funny.
Because you're constantly surprised. It weirdly, the way my brain fills out the lower half is never correct.
Right. Right. And you're probably making a bunch of assumptions on like how they sound or something of like yeah. how their face is going to be shaped or how... Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What were the big surprises? Any
just everyone's ugly. Everyone's ugly.
I guess I'm expecting to see a beauty when the mask comes off, and it never is, and I'm always, it's everybody else.
I'm such a great guy, I'm giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, but everyone is just letting me down.
That's too bad. You know, it doesn't sound like you are giving anybody the benefit. It sounds like you're pretty critical of other people's looks, to be honest.
No, I'm saying I wish they were not ugly. I'm being nice.
No, we agree on what you're saying. We don't agree on how it feels to anybody else.
But no particular surprise. Just generally never what I am. Like, I keep seeing people, every once in a while I'll see someone with their mask off, and I'll have to do the long, like... It's lose-lose, because right. if it's not the person, you're a creep staring at somebody. Right. And if it is, you're like, well, who are you?
Well, and you're kind of like, well, I know you by your mask now. I know that's yeah. part of your face, and now it's gone. Yeah. It's like a strange, yeah, removal. Are you excited to be, you're what, almost maybe halfway done, would you say, in your process?
Yeah, I think I have been here for 1 month, and I am here for just under another month. So I'm excited to just be... you know, around familiar things and around people I know, I think.
Right.
And going from not working for a whole year to, I think I said this last week, to working like 60-hour weeks mm-hmm. is a bit of a, for a man who is not very motivated to work, it is a bit of a jolt and it's tiring.
Right.
Right. Like I noticed last Monday, everyone there was like, how are you? How was your weekend? And I literally didn't have an answer. It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. And I wasn't feeling good or feeling bad.
Right.
It's a funny feeling to just be like.
It just sort of like floated past.
Yeah, I just kind of am right now. Like, mm-hmm. like things are fine. Nothing's bad. Nothing. And I'm not like plugged into the like world or the news. So like that feels like something that like can affect your mood a lot. Mm-hmm. Or is something people talk about. And when you're not, it's like.
Right.
I don't even know where I'm going with this. I guess just sometimes you're just feeling,
yeah, you're like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's good you haven't been connected from the news. It's been a bruiser. It's been
I did see
bad
some
lately.
News this weekend and today. Yeah. Man, these shootings just have me fucking.
They're horrible.
Very hopeless.
It's such a huge, huge problem that it seems like nobody is trying to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's just so, so disheartening and so sad, just gutting. I mean, like,
yeah.
I saw a thing that said there's been like 45 mass shootings in the past like 2 weeks or something like that. And it's like, remember when we were just all inside and these weren't happening every week?
Yeah.
Like, and now they're just fucking back full force. Like people are yeah. more, it's just really scary. Really, really scary.
Yeah. It's so like, God.
Yeah.
I mean, not
to mention the police shootings. I mean, they're fucking the people who should be doing it the least, and they do it the most, and it is awful.
This thing came up the other night, this kind of like, it's a hard thing to know really how I feel about it, but this idea of like the people who are the most extreme, you're not going to convince them by being against them. You have to like be able to listen. Mm-hmm. But it also like feels so hard because inherently I believe that, but it feels so hard when like my feeling about my extreme is like, I don't want people to get killed.
Right.
And the other extreme is like, it's what it feels like is like, no, guns are good. Guns are okay. We deserve guns. And it's mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. I just don't know where we're going to meet on this, that you can keep seeing people get killed and your like reaction is not sadness or like wanting to change it.
Right. I think they're just like, what? No, what do you like? They're just not actually interacting with it. To me, that's the only way. There's no way this many shootings can happen and somebody can be like, seems normal.
Yeah.
It's horrific. It's so scary. It's regardless of right and wrong, it's just really scary, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It just is, you know. Meet me there, at least, so it right. doesn't scare you that people are getting murdered and what we thought was a free... It's not free. There's no freedom.
Yeah.
Like, freedom and safety are supposed to go hand in hand. It's not just the freedom that yeah. we want, you know? The and freedom to kill anybody is not the freedom we want, like...
And then you lose the freedom to protest if the country starts killing people. Like, mm-hmm. it feels like very, I don't know.
Yeah, it's very sad and scary.
I don't even have an opinion more than just, I feel like very, like, swimming in the middle of the ocean. And I'm like, mm-hmm. No one's coming.
Right. Well, you must feel especially weird this last month being so isolated and, I don't know.
It really is. I felt much more inundated with it when I wasn't working. Like,
right.
Because ultimately, like, you see the news and you can take it on and process it however you want. But what can happen is if you're seeing the news nonstop, the same news over and over, 8 hours a day, every day, it's just like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's beneficial for me.
No.
It just becomes more and more overwhelming. So there is, like, something... freeing, I guess, about like being able to at least like go and do something and like not just be stuck mm-hmm. with the same repeated snake eating its own tail, whatever it is, of mm-hmm. just like awful new. It's the same, like, you and I could write the whole story of what's going to happen. Like, somebody is going to get killed. The conservative side right. is going to immediately try to find a way to blame them or say that, like, mm-hmm. everything's okay.
What did they do before the video? Or
yeah, exactly. And yeah. then there's going to be the response to that, and then the response to the response. And it's like, right. it just all feels so inhuman and so, like, hard to process.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, you can't sit there and just take all of it in for everybody. I think it's mm-hmm. like finding that balance. Some people are taking none of it in and acting like it's not happening, and they need to do a little more watching, I feel like.
Yeah.
And then some of the people who are doing all of the watching need to, like, take a break and go live a healthy life. It's a hard thing to separate, like, my personal thing from the larger issue. It's right. tough, you know? It's also not helping anybody to sit there and watch all day long. You
right.
know what I mean? But how do you help? It just feels so fucking hard.
Right.
So big.
No idea.
Whew. Well, I hope everybody listening can find a little bit of joy in whatever you're doing today. And maybe it's improv comedy, or people who normally do improv comedy and are just chatting at you.
Yeah.
you know, living well and trying to find joy, I think, is an important part of getting through it. You know what I mean?
There's
gotta still be a reason to... do it, to live, all that stuff. You can't just go fully into despair, you know?
Right. It's sometimes the despair feels like a way of controlling your feelings about it, where it's mm-hmm. like, well, if the whole world is sad, I'm going to make sure I feel bad all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also, for me, like, unproductive, where it's like, I'm not allowed to ever do anything except for, like, wallow. Right. Because I would feel guilty otherwise, and like that,
right?
That's not a way to live either.
Right.
How do you feel? Do you miss audiences? Do you miss performing live?
I really think I blocked it out.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, surely. Like, the energy of being in a room with people who are, like, having fun together is hugely missed for me. Like,
yeah.
This has been a great salve for that, and like being able to laugh with my friends, and hopefully people enjoy it later. But man, imagine if we were all doing it at the same time. It would be so, so great. But
yeah,
I sort of have like put a wall up in my brain and a little on my heart of like, well, I can't do that. So I can't just spend all year hoping it is that again, you know?
But yeah. I miss
it, yes.
Yeah, I think for better and possibly for worse sometimes, I'm like pretty good at just like, seeing what the reality is and not dwelling on mm-hmm. what I can't do or what I'm not, what I'm missing or whatever. Exactly. But I think part of me is like, oh, I wish I did. I'll have those moments where it occurs to me like what I'm missing out on and makes me sad. And it's like, oh, I wish I did think about this a little more so I could have like hold mm-hmm. whatever gratitude there is mm-hmm. for it. Or, you know, like the, whatever those hopes are and whatever, like, it's a nice place to put my brain sometimes instead of wherever else it is.
Totally. I mean, I definitely miss it. I walked around at a park the other day with a friend and his dog, and there was like a little raised, like stairs up to a little raised thing and a bunch of tables. And I was like, oh, we could do an improv show here. We could just put on Instagram and Twitter that we're doing it at this time with these people and people would come. And I'm kind of like, that does sound fun to me.
You're right.
And like film it and like live stream it or something like that, or not, just have the fun, you know? But I definitely was feeling the itch. I was like, oh, this feels like a COVID safe way to do what we used to love to do.
Yeah.
But who knows?
I mean, I think that's a great idea.
It would be fun. I mean, I think we're getting close to that point where it's like people don't want to do inside. They're doing outdoor stand-up shows now and stuff like that. Yeah. It would be fun to just do like a local, because improv has always been like corny and free and like not about the club anyway. You know, it's not about like buying two drinks at the whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
right.
It's cheap or free. Come laugh. Well, it feels like kind of a dorky, fun thing to do in public, like a park. Be like Shakespeare in the Park, but much less reverent and a lot more fun.
A lot more fun. Well, yeah, let's do that when I get back. Well, you do it before if you want to also, but I want to do that.
No, yeah, I think you coming back would be a good impetus to get it started. Impotence?
Me coming back will bring some impotence to LA for sure.
That's true. I'm not going to be able to fuck at all once you're back. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be really hard.
Sorry.
Well, it's not going to be really
Dan's back.
It's gonna be disappointing. It's going to be really soft. I can't wait for you to be back. It's, you know, there's a hole in LA without you here, my man.
Oh, thank you.
First, a Dan-sized hole.
I appreciate that. I'll get back. Yeah. We'll have a nice big bovel meal. We'll crack a bottle of vino.
I can't wait. I cannot
have
wait.
Some laughs. And we'll watch whatever the new... We don't watch Dark Knight anymore, so whatever Scream the new 2. Thing is. Scream 2.
Yeah, the new Dark Knight is Scream 2. Tell everybody.
Scream 2.
What did I just watch? I just watched Voyagers. Have you heard of this movie?
No,
it's with Colin Farrell and a bunch of young people. And they go to space. I think they're trying to get to the next planet. Like, it's not Mars. You know, it's more in the future. And it's 86 years away. So they are on the ship, like, birthing and raising the generation that's actually going to arrive there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But to do that and keep everybody, like, calm and compliant and ship-like rather than children, they make them drink this, like, blue stuff that, like, dampens all of their like pleasure centers so that they don't want to try drugs or listen to music or wrestle or have sex, you know, any of that stuff, so that they're just like little robot people, you know. And then they of course find out that the blue stuff has this thing so they can't feel, and then they stop taking it and it starts to sort of go wild. It's a pretty fun movie. I liked it. I don't know if it was good.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was from the director of Limitless, you know, the pill where you.
Yeah.
So I think some of that vibe, maybe a little bit, about another substance that changes the way you behave.
Yeah. What's this guy's substance deal?
I don't know. Maybe this guy's clearly got substance abuse issues. But it was pretty good. And then I also watched Nobody, that Odenkirk movie. I watched that last night and it's really good.
Yeah. It's fun.
I really liked it. It's like...
I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah. It's pretty funny, and then it's also kind of intense. It's like, John Wick style, like, you know, you see it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I was thinking that might be my first, like, back in theaters movie when I'm back in LA, but I also don't know how long it'll be in theater. I don't know how it all works now, so...
We almost went to the theater to watch it, and then I was like, I'm just not ready for that. Let's just rent it at home.
Yeah.
So we rented it at home, and it was great. But the other one I saw at the drive-in, which is a fantastic experience that I feel like died in the 90s, man, it's got to come back.
You're a big drive-in head.
It's so fun to be able to be in your own car, bring your own snacks... Talk to the people you want to and not be like bothering anybody else. It's very cool.
Yeah. But then you miss out on those like weird Germans that we saw Stuber with.
Yes. But it's also kind of communal because everybody else is parked right by you and like their windows are down, you know, whatever. It's like, but yeah, definitely the Stuber guys. Oh, no.
Oh, no, Stuber.
Oh, Stuber, don't do that. Yeah, those guys are pretty classic. That is an argument for going to see a movie live. Other people can ruin it for you.
Yeah, there were Germans and Russians ruining the movie. It was fucking World War II, Axis of Evil or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it definitely felt evil for sure. Stuber! But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for, yeah, some of that stuff to come, like movies to come back and feel like a big deal. Like, it's just not a big deal when everyone's renting them at home by themselves, you know, like they're not as much fun to talk about. It's just the whole thing. So I'm excited for some of that stuff.
I hope they figure out something to do with the arc light. That made me really sad too.
I know. What do you think will happen there? Like, what goes in there if the arc light doesn't work?
Yeah, the biggest dome theater in the world. Like, you can't just, you know, pave paradise and put a parking lot there.
Someone at least has to save the dome. Even if they don't save the rest of the theater, just have the dome do like one cool screening a weekend.
Yeah.
You know, like, just, they screen the one big movie and everybody goes and sees it there. Whatever.
One head of one studio could buy the dome.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino could come through and do a feet presentation in there. I don't care. I don't care.
If you promised him he could see feet on that huge screen, I don't know that he'd live through the screening.
Yeah, but he might pass right when he got in there. For everybody who doesn't know, in LA, the Arclight is sort of the Hollywood Arclight. Arclight is a chain of theaters that surely they're other places, but I feel like they're Southern California mainly.
Yeah, I haven't seen them outside of SoCal.
Yeah, there's some in like San Diego, so I'm sure they're spreading. But if you know about the Arclight, one of the ones in Hollywood is closing, and it's sort of like the good movie theater in that part of town. Like, where even is the next nearest movie theater? There isn't one, really, for that far away.
Yeah.
But it was the place that they would do all the special screenings or have like director commentary. We saw, what was that movie with the director?
Oh, yeah.
Jojo Rabbit with Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
And he like did a Q&A after. And so like you get cool little opportunities like that sometimes. They'll show like 70mm prints of old movies, you know, just like kind of cool programming because it's LA movie stuff. It's sad that it's going away. And you always used to see someone you know there, I feel like, too. Because
It's all, you're always running into like some third, like your third cousin of friends, whatever the friend version of that is.
Yeah. The other group that you're friends with, but you guys didn't invite each other to.
Exactly.
You're like, hey, we have pretty similar tastes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw my first place I lived in LA when I moved out. The woman that took my room was Nancy Cartwright, the woman who voiced Bart Simpson, was her assistant.
Oh.
And side note, she's famously a Scientologist. But really? Anyway, before I moved out, she gave everybody in the house tickets to watch a screening of the Simpsons movie at the Arclight. Mm. Like it was like the friends and family screening. So I saw Ethan Suplee there.
Wow.
I got Nancy Cartwright's autograph, but that was my first Arclight experience in the dome, was seeing the Simpsons movie there.
Oh, that's like, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a big old Simpsons fan, that was fun.
Right. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, RIP the Arclight. I heard that the company was really cheap and did not take care of their employees, so it makes me a little less sad. But
yeah, that's true.
You know, I'm bummed that I don't get it anymore either.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Fuck the corporation, but too bad we don't get a fun place to watch movies.
Yeah. The what? The Coke?
The corporation. Fuck the corporation.
Oh.
Fuck the Coke.
I thought it was like owned by Coca-Cola or the Coke Brothers, and I was like, whoa, that shit runs deep.
Probably.
Probably, right.
Every freaking thing is. Well,
Shell is.
On that sad RIP Arclight note, I feel like we've checked in this week. How do you feel?
I feel pretty good. I feel checked in. It's always good to see you, Dan. And, you know, I know our listeners love to hear from you especially. I've been here. I've been here on the Friday episodes. But we miss you, buddy. We all do.
I miss you, too. Excited to get back to get the nose to the grindstone. Big ups to John Mackey for that Friday episode.
Oh, yeah. What a blast, John was.
Yeah.
Love my John man.
Something nice about, if I'm not there, someone recording using the same internet I use.
We talked about that. He was like, his bedroom is right there. And I was like, you guys are just one set over.
He should have recorded from my bedroom.
That would have been really fun.
No, don't go in there. Don't.
In a wig. I heard that Stella has made some big changes to your bedroom since you've left.
Oh, my God. There's a bunch of, what, cats hanging from the walls?
Well, when you get back, let's just say you're in the doghouse.
Oh, my God. I already practically was.
She has fully turned it into a big red doghouse. There's no more bed in there.
Oh, my God.
Just a little bit of grass. And the door, the hole is different. There's no door. It's just a big hole.
Oh, no. I hope my computer isn't a bone now.
Well, it was a bone.
Oh, no, she chewed it.
She chewed the shit out of it. It's actually a pile of shit in the backyard now. John has not been cleaning the shit either. It's been a tough time for your house. Now this I get. My dog changing my room, I don't know. But John not picking up the dog shit, yeah.
I mean, not that he's shit. It's not his dog, but.
Right, right. Well, I hope someone is because it's been a while. I mean, if she's shitting out there every day, the lawn's just going to be covered in shit.
Yeah, I might come back to a well-fertilized lawn.
Yeah, you have to get those shoes where you walk and just poke them in. Have you seen those little shoes?
No.
They're not shoes. They're more like sandals that strap onto the bottom of your regular shoes, but they have little nails on the bottom, and you just are, I guess, supposed to walk through your lawn to, like, aerate it. You know what I mean? Like, if you put down fertilizer, you walk and the things poke. I think they're like a Sky Mall.
Like, right.
I'm pitching you a Sky Mall product right now. But
that did just remind me. I was texting you yesterday. I rewatched Wanderlust. And there's a part in it where Ken Marino's character asks if Paul Rudd's character reads Sky Mall.
Like casually?
Yeah, it's like he reads Sky Mall. He's like, I guess on plates. He's like, well, I get stuff.
Ken Marino in that movie is so funny. Is that the one where he's married to Michaela Watkins?
Yes.
And he runs a toilet company?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They sell porta potties.
The scene, you know what scene I'm talking about, right? Where he throws the plate down in my own house. He throws the plate down and like pumps himself up by going, in my own house! And it is the most surprising, funny thing I had ever seen when I saw that movie. I just did not expect it at all. And it fucking killed me.
Oh, his whole character, because it's weirdly big and like broad, but also very real as like the guy who's constantly being the worst person you know and just going like, I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding, dude.
Yeah.
I also
he's also like a total megalomaniac, but because he sells shitters. Like, it's like, you're not cool. Like, you did well in business, but nobody thinks you're cool, and that's okay, man. You can calm down.
He co-wrote that movie, which I didn't realize.
He's very smart and funny. I love that guy. Yeah. Just so funny. Big Ken Marino fan. Did you watch that show that he was on with like Casey Wilson and I think Gamberling?
I didn't. No, the one where they're
It was
married.
Funny. It was like an NBC show. Yeah, what was it called? It's Mary? I don't know, something. But it was like a little bit wilder than an NBC show normally is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that's maybe why it didn't last or whatever. But man, it was funny. It cracked me up.
Yeah, I think it was that. No, this is deep in the weeds, but that guy, Casey Wilson's husband, I think, created
Caspi,
his
show's David all. Caspi.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their stuff is usually pretty a little wild.
Little wild. Little. Let's see where network can go.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, Dan, I love you, buddy. This has been a nice time to check in. I hope you have a great week.
Love you too. Same to you. I miss you.
Miss you too.
Well, and everybody out there, I miss you. Glad to have heard from you.
We really miss you guys. Thank you to everybody who's been leaving those voicemails. We've been doing a few more of those voicemail episodes, and they're just so fun. The one with John is really fun. There's a couple of voicemails. Someone leaves a voicemail about their crazy dad they had already left a voicemail about their crazy dad before, and it's another story.
Yeah.
And now he would just lie to them to get them to do stuff. And this one was about how he had an imaginary friend named Griswold that sat on his shoulder. And when he didn't want to do stuff, he'd be like, Griswold said I shouldn't. And man, it was a lot of fun. Shout out to Griswold.
Is this the dad that like dumped sand down her bathing suit or something on the beach?
Maybe,
something like weird
maybe,
like that.
Maybe. I can't recall.
Great. Excited to hear it.
That's a good one.
Well, have a nice week, everybody. And thanks again. Peace out, Boy Scouts.
Peace out, everybody.
Wow,
love y'all.
Damn, that's a screen grab right there. Great focus pull.
Great pull.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, peace, everybody.
Yeah, peace.
All right, buddies. Bye.
Bye.